Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Home Healthcare News Senior Editor Andrew Donlin. Today's episode is with Evan Ostrowski, the CEO of Special Touch Home Care. In this conversation, Ostrowski dives into the operating challenges and opportunities that come with being a New York home care provider. We get into New York's consumer-directed personal assistance program, home care growth in general, and what's next for Special Touch Home Care specifically. Want to sponsor episodes of this podcast? Contact A. Donlin at WTWHmedia.com to learn more. A-D-O-N-L-A-N at WTWHmedia.com. Let's get into it. Okay, Evan, thank you so much for joining me today. First, I want to get started with some background on yourself personally, and then on the company Special Touch Home Care as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks, Andrew, for inviting us here. I really appreciate it. First of all, Special Touch was started by my father back in 1984. So it's basically been a part of my life ever since I was 4 years old. And I started working for the company in the summertime when I was about 15 years old. I would come each summer. My father would take me into work and I would help out. And then when I graduated from grad school in 2004, I started working full time. And the way that my father wanted me to start working for the company was start working within different departments, get to know how everybody works so I could be kind of intimately knowledgeable about how everything operates. And then I actually started focusing on the recruitment part of Special Touch because we had certain needs that kind of became urgent. So I dove headfirst in that, helped kind of tackle those issues, drastically increase the amount of people that we were hiring at that point in time. And then I moved up to kind of oversee all of the human resources of the company. So that's recruitment and then kind of compliance for all of the home health aides and personal care aides that we had working for us. And then not so long ago, I officially became the chief executive of the company. So as chief executive, I kind of oversee all of the day-to-day operations, make sure that we deal with everything going on with our patients at any given time, making sure all of our departments are operating, to perfection, and also trying to do things to improve the company. So that's where I've kind of jumped headfirst into seeing what new technologies are out there and new processes are out there to make sure that we are kind of on the leading edge of home health care. Special Touch Home Care, as I said, started by my father about 40 years ago. And since then, we're very proud to say that we have serviced over 150,000 patients in our history. And we more recently, about 10 years ago, we started providing services as a fiscal intermediary through the CDPAP program. So that's brought a lot of exciting stuff going on with the company, providing services in that program. We are extremely proud to say that we service many different languages. That kind of became a specialty, I would say, of the company, is when a group of people became like a large enough population in the city. We started providing services to a lot of Spanish speakers. We've trained in Spanish for a long time. We also service a lot of Russian speakers. And we've always tried to kind of cater our services to be more specific to different cultures and languages, kind of because New York City is an extremely diverse city, and it's really benefited us to be able to kind of service those groups and be able to, you know, make them as comfortable as possible doing business with us.
Okay, fantastic. And I'm curious, you know, outside of CDPAP, what service lines do you have? Do you all do Medicare certified home health care, or is it more Medicaid based home and community based services?
So the vast majority of our services are Medicaid, long-term care services.
Okay.
And that's the vast majority is Medicaid. We do have a certain percentage of Medicare patients that we see. And as far as lines of business right now, we are home care services, so home health aides, PCAs. That's what we've been doing basically since the beginning of the company. And now we added the CDPAP service, where we're, you know, a little bit different in that service. We're a fiscal intermediary. And those are the two primary lines of business. And we have a, we do some nursing kind of like to manage the services that we have, mostly the home care service. But as far as the services that we bill for, it's the home health aid, personal care aid, and the consumer directed program.
Okay. And is there any private pay element to the business?
There is. We do have a certain private pay population at any given time, but it's definitely a small percentage in the overall services. I mean, probably we're talking like less than 5% of the company is private pay. So,
okay, sounds good. And so I want to start with operating in New York as a home care provider. What is it like right now running a home care business there? Obviously, a huge and opportunistic market. At the same time, particularly over the last few years, there's been a lot of regulatory shifts, I would call it. You know, there's been different home care wage mandates. There, you know, some of the issues with CDPAP we'll get into. But what has it been like operating in New York? Obviously, you have the institutional knowledge, so you have a leg up there. But has it been tough, or has it mostly been smooth sailing, you know, as it was a decade ago?
Well, first of all, I want to say that operating in New York is extremely rewarding. We love what we do. We know that we're making a tremendous difference in people's lives, and kind of like towards the end of their lives for most of them. We are allowing them to kind of stay in their homes versus going to facilities. So on that end, you know, we do it because we love it. As far as how regulation has impacted our business, so there's always been a regulation component to our business. You know, we've always been a well-regulated industry. And I have my senior management has been in the job, a lot of them more than 20 years, 15 years. So we've always been able to deal with new regulations without any issue. Certainly in more recent years, there's been certain, you know, challenges for the business. A lot of that has to go with the wage parity, wage mandates, stuff like that. And that's been interesting to deal with. But on one hand, it's great. You know, we appreciate that through those mandates, our caregivers are, you know, earning more money than they ever earned. Our caregivers have great benefits now, health insurance, great, the best health insurance kind of in the industry, plenty of vacation time. So that's great. We love that. You know, whenever those kind of wage mandates kicked in, it was always kind of a scramble to make sure that we had the reimbursement that would cover those wage mandates. But they've come through, you know, sometimes, you know, in the last month or so, you know, we start seeing the rates cover it. So even though, you know, that's been, I would say, stressful at those times, you know, it hasn't really been a problem for us or a challenge for us. It's something that we welcome, and we just accept the fact that when things like that happen, you know, we might be calling all of the contracts and scrambling to get the reimbursement necessary to cover it. Yeah, I would say that's kind of like other regulations, you know, they always come into play and we put them into effect. And honestly, also not just wage increases, but regulation changes that kind of improve the quality of care, safety for patients, things like that. We also welcome those. We appreciate, you know, the efforts that the Department of Health makes to try to, you know, improve the quality of care and the service that we're providing. So we welcome that. And we feel that we're, you know, over 40 years of kind of dealing with that, we're really good at handling new regulatory requirements.
Yeah, certainly being adaptable helps. And with CDPAP, a lot of, you know, headlines in the news recently, including on Home Healthcare News, about what's going on with that program. It seems like you're optimistic about the program and your involvement in it. Can you give us a breakdown of what things have been like within that program as a fiscal intermediary? And is it your plan to continue being one in the future?
Sure, yeah. So we started offering fiscal intermediary services about 10 years ago. The program, it existed, but it wasn't nearly where it is at today. but we started to see some of our patients kind of switching from our home care services to the CDPAP program. So we started looking into it, and then we started providing those services. We think it's great. I mean, we're big proponents of this program. It gives people who might otherwise not be comfortable with home care service the ability to get the care that they need to help them live quality lives, gives people greater independence to select their caregiver, oversee their care. And also, you know, you may have situations where people, maybe their PA can't work anymore, and they'll switch from CDPAP to home care service or vice versa. So, you know, it's important for us to kind of be there for them on both sides. You know, we don't want patients to have to go elsewhere for services when we can provide them. It's been, you know, fast growing part of our business. It's kind of been really fast growing in New York. And I guess ever since probably we started, maybe a few years after we started, you know, Department of Health has kind of implemented or tried to implement certain either authorization or approval programs. I think in 2018 was the first one where they started kind of, we applied to get approved. We did that, got approved, and then that kind of fell apart. And 2020, that's where they had another kind of RFP where we had to apply to continue doing it. And, you know, I think because we are, I take a testament to how we are so, you know, we have so much experience and we have so much kind of to offer the industry. We were one of the, I believe, 62 agencies initially approved for that program. So, I mean, we spent about 4 years waiting for that to finally be implemented. During the process, I know they had legal challenges, added a bunch of companies to do it. And then that also, that kind of fell apart in this most recent budget system or process. And now they're looking to do one single fiscal intermediary for the state. So certainly that puts certain things at risk for us. But we remain hopeful that we will still have our place in this business. We definitely have very much enjoyed, you know, providing fiscal intermediary services in New York. With that program, we can provide services throughout the whole state. The license agency is mainly in New York City and Westchester. So even though it's very uncertain, and, you know, things could change last minute, just as we, that whole thing with the one fiscal intermediary for the state, that was very much unexpected by us. But also, you know, the last process took 4 years and then it didn't happen. So we're hoping that there'll be some changes that allow us to kind of keep doing this business, because we really do love doing it, and we definitely don't want to, we don't want to stop.
With the last two topics of conversation in mind, Evan, what do you think New York could do better for home care providers or home care beneficiaries? Obviously, you already said you love providing care in the state. You all love what you do. But what do you think would improve the state of home care in New York right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the I would say the state does a great job of offering very good benefits. You know, I don't think every state has the generous home care benefits. New York sees that not only is it extremely appreciated by the patients because it really does help them live a better life, but it's also a better alternative, even cost-wise, to you know, facilities where someone might have to go to a nursing home or assisted living facility. So we've seen a lot of really good, smart regulation. As far as, you know, things we would like to see, well, like I said, we specialize in languages. We like to focus on, you know, might underserved groups that we could try to you know, offer our services to, who may not either know the services or exist, or may not be able to find a company that, you know, can work with them in their language. Not too long ago, the state provided us with some grant money. And we were able to use that money to help kind of like build up our language abilities, you know, because whenever you want to service a different language, it requires a certain amount of investment. You've got to translate everything into that different languages. You need employees to be able to work with the caregivers and the patients. So that kind of thing, grants for things like that to help us provide service to underserved groups, also provide service in underserved areas. You know, that grant money also helped us to offer kind of bonuses for people that would travel from or to, you know, areas where it's not as easy to get to. Maybe public transportation doesn't really reach that. So yeah, that was really helpful. And that was kind of like a one-time thing. Oh, maybe. I mean, we would like to see things like that to be ongoing, because if it's ongoing, then we really know that we can, you know, devote those resources on an ongoing basis, you know, employees to be able to work with them. That's kind of like, that's not temporary. That's something we would like to have on an ongoing basis. You know, we also would like grant money to help with educational programs to offer to our employees to better take care of our patients. You know, the state has offered grant money to help us train caregivers to improve their skills, improve their ability to take care of people, cultural competency, all that good stuff. And that's kind of, we would definitely like to see more of that, because it really does, it helps, it makes our caregivers feel more valued. It also helps them develop their skills, as well as helps them serve our patients better.
Okay, so you mentioned you recently reached that milestone of 150,000 patients cared for since the founding. How do you plan to continue growing in the future, Evan?
Well, so to get to that point, that took a lot of hard work and dedication, primarily to, providing quality care. We've always put the patient first in our business. We've looked to kind of focus our services on the diverse population of New York City. So that's kind of how we got to where we are. And we definitely want to continue that, providing great care, expanding kind of our reach to different areas of the city and different people. As far as what we're looking to do going forward, we see that, it's an aging population, and you have different people, maybe the people that are decision makers for a lot of patients, they are looking maybe in a little different places than they used to find care. So we have put a lot of information online. We've really put a lot of time and effort into our website to, give all the education, because now people, when they look for home care or health care, they go online, they start searching, they want information, they want to learn things about the services that are offered and the companies that are out there. So we put a lot of effort into that. We even created a new website just for the CDPAS program. It's CDPAS.com. And that's also a lot of information for people to learn from online, help them decide if it's right for them, and then also to reach out to us if they're ready to do that. And also social media. We're very active with our social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, and we've just kind of put a lot of great resources on there for people to take a look at, either to help them care for a family member, or maybe if they're in the CDPAP program, that also can be a good resource for them, or to just find us, get some good information, and then reach out to us when they need assistance. Also internally, we've always focused on, our hiring practices. When we hire the right people in the office staff who treat our patients great, that helps us as a company. And actually, me and my brother, we do hire most of our office staff, because it's really that important to us to make sure that we get the right people in place. And if we continue to do that and provide great service, we believe we'll continue to grow. And in addition to that, we are exploring kind of expanding our geographic reach. In the home care services, we're primarily New York City and Westchester. We think maybe it's time to offer services at least throughout New York State. You know, that requires licensing and also adding new services like therapy services, nursing services. Those are also areas that we're looking to explore to kind of, you know, add to our product offering to potential patients and to kind of help us grow as a company.
Okay. So with geographic expansion specifically, and, you know, I guess also within organic growth within your current markets, what do you see as the largest barriers to growth?
I would say that as far as the greatest like challenges that we have right now, it is, first of all, you know, when it comes to growing in different geographic areas, it's always been critically important for us to, you know, if we're going to be offering our services in a different area, we're going to do it, you know, the right way. We don't want to provide, a service that's not as good as what we're doing here in New York City. So, and that requires in home care, you know, you can't just start starting service and you can't just, have a few caregivers on hand. You really need to have a large kind of amount of caregivers that if someone comes to you and they need service, you know, you have someone to meet their needs. In the past, we've set up training programs. You know, we've had a training program in New York City, in Brooklyn, for a really long time. And that has helped us, you know, to make sure that we have caregivers always ready. When we decided to move into Staten Island and open our Staten Island office about 15 years ago, we started training, certifying caregivers there. And by doing that, we quickly became one of the largest home care agencies in Staten Island. You know, it's a little bit more difficult to find caregivers in Staten Island for companies. And so we took advantage of the fact that, one, we're a known quantity. People know us. So a lot of people call us, come to us. And two, that we will train them there. So if they want to get certified, they come to us, we train them, and they provide services there. As far as kind of our goal to also reach new language groups and cultures, you know, that's a very challenging thing to do, especially when it starts out small. You need to devote resources, and that's always kind of a little bit challenging, but it's definitely a challenge that we welcome. And like I mentioned before, I mean, any help that the state can do to kind of help us get those programs going and keep them going, we definitely appreciate that. They're very, very helpful.
Okay. And do you feel as though your staffing situation in general has improved recently? I've been talking to a lot of providers who feel that way. And if so, why do you think that is? Is it due to external factors, internal initiatives that you've been working on, or both?
So our staffing situation, I started in 2004, right? So I started in the recruitment side of things. And what is interesting is that staffing was a relatively easy thing for us and without much advertising for staffing. So you find that when you're out there, we provide service to 150,000 patients. And for those patients, we've had, you know, thousands and thousands of caregivers. So word of mouth historically has been almost all we've ever needed. And so then we only did advertising for the hard to service areas, certain language groups. That's all we've done. COVID came along and that definitely made it a lot more difficult. You know, a lot of people were scared to go out into a patient's home, you know, that's very close contact with patients. And so, you know, staffing became very challenging during that period. But as kind of that ended, we're back to kind of where we are. We have, you know, any given month, we'll have 100 people walk into our offices throughout New York City looking to work for us. So we're back to kind of where the only areas what we might need to focus and put a little bit more effort into as far as finding caregivers is the hard to service areas, languages, stuff like that. And also just like, as I mentioned a moment ago, you know, being able to offer those training programs, that's an advantage for us. You know, there's a lot of agencies out there that operate and they don't have a training program. So if somebody comes to them, they're not certified, they have to send them somewhere else to get certified or have relationships with other places we don't need to do that. So a lot of people, they know about our training programs and they come to us. They want to get certified. So that's always been a very key aspect of kind of like how we've been able to meet our staffing needs, you know, through hard work, but not, we don't really have a challenge when somebody comes to us, you know, they need a caregiver, you know, we can react to that. We can get them somebody really quickly. We've always got a nice kind of amount of aides, caregivers that are available to take care of the patients.
And do you feel like one of the untapped areas of opportunity that you've been really going after still remains that language piece? You're willing to go into these neighborhoods where there may be language barriers and train caregivers that can service those clients?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, diversity in New York City. We've met like the large groups, you know, we've been doing English, Russian, Spanish, Chinese, translate everything into those languages for a long time. But there's still a lot of groups that are out there. I know we've been approached for Korean, Urdu speaking, you know, still there's a decent population, but they have a hard time finding providers that can work with them in their language. So we do see that as an area that, you know, if you become the agency that provides services to those people, then, you know, it's a great opportunity to, you know, see they learn about you and that population can grow. So that is definitely kind of one way that we look to grow, is by catering to these like kind of like underserved groups. Also in the, you know, we do that with our home care agency side of the business. And we also do that with the CDPAP side of the business. So for a lot of them, you know, culturally, they're more comfortable with a family member, let's say, taking care of them. That's kind of culturally a little bit unusual for them to have somebody they don't know come into their house. So, you know, we want to be able to, so we can take care of them in the CDPAP program as well. And that's, you know, a little bit more simpler, because in that program, they're managing their caregiver. So now they're handling the day-to-day oversight of the caregiver. And we have everything kind of like translated into their language. You know, we'll get an employee or translator to help work with them as needed. But that program also is great for kind of those underserved groups. It's a little bit, you know, easier. I mean, it's not easy to find training programs that train in every language. So the CDPAP program is an avenue where we see a lot of potential to help these underserved groups.
Okay. And then turning to technology for a second, you seem like you're running a future-facing organization here, Evan. So is there certain technology that you think you'll need to unlock in the future, or certain technology that you have adopted recently that is going to become table stakes for providers in the near-term future?
I definitely am a strong believer that we need to adopt the latest technology. I mean, kind of when it comes to pressures of reimbursement, you know, there's not a lot of kind of extra money for overhead for administrative. And so you want to be able to do as much as you can with as little as you can, and also utilize technology to even improve the experience of your patients and your consumers. So, I mean, we all kind of like jumped into it when it came to the COVID pandemic, and we started with the online education. They're all doing online in-service now. You know, we've improved our phone system, and now it's a voice over IP system, much more modern and easier for communication between caregivers and the company, patients in the company. And that became, you know, critically important, especially as less people were showing up to our offices. But we're really, right now, we're doing a lot, trying to, our nursing, our patient kind of charts, we are kind of converting over from paper charts to digital charts. And also that comes with the nurses being able to have kind of a direct connection to the office, which helps us react to any issues that they might see quicker, gets all that paperwork done more efficiently. A lot of it is kind of automated, So the scheduling of the nurses, the timing, you know, it's going to allow us to be more efficient there. We're going online. We're going a new patient intake program, caregiver onboarding. It's all kind of going in that direction. I'm trying to really hard to like go see what everything that's out there and select the best so that we can be more efficient. And also, I am, even though it's hard to find a product yet, but I definitely feel it's coming. You know, everyone's talking about artificial intelligence. You know, from my perspective, what I'm looking for is something that can kind of automate a lot of the processes that we do, a lot of the requests that we get that are pretty mundane, simple, so that that can kind of like automate as much of that as possible. And then we can focus our time on the things that you need a human touch, you know, talking to our patients, helping when there's issues arise. You know, we see technology as a way to kind of be more efficient and spend more of our time, you know, dealing with people, you know, having that, giving them that human touch and using kind of AI or automation of some sort to handle the things that, you know, can be handled that are more simple.
Okay. Finally, Ivan, what excites you most about Spatial Touch Home Care's future?
Well, I have to say, I love what we do. Extremely proud of what we do, make a difference in people's lives. You know, we look to the future, we see we have an aging population. So, you know, this kind of senior care, it's only going to become, you know, a bigger issue, more important going forward. So I'm very excited to see, you know, what happens as the population ages and how we can better utilize our services to take care of them. And, you know, we're a home care service provider. Both programs are kind of based on that. So it's our goal to, you know, try to help them really live their best life, no matter which program they participate in. And these programs are, you know, they're not just end of life, short term programs. You know, these are long term programs. So we can have an aide in that home for, you know, we have people for 10 plus years. So it's really helping them through kind of their golden years and really making a big difference. So we're looking forward to continue doing that. We're looking forward to kind of see how the health system kind of changes over time, improves outcomes for patients. We're excited about any kind of initiatives that focus on improving, you know, patient outcomes that are measurable. You know, we think that that's important kind of for the businesses to be able to improve actual health outcomes. And we are, you know, we're excited to grow, move into other areas, offer more services. You know, we see a lot of good things coming with that in the future. And we're definitely looking forward to devoting a lot more time and effort in expanding our reach and our scope of services.
Okay, Ivan, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. I really appreciate you inviting us. It's been great.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com or consider becoming an HHCN Plus member. I'm Andrew Donlin, and this has been a production of WTWH Media.